Proverbs 23 and reading verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and understanding, and instruction and understanding. And my title for this morning's message is Unboxing the Truth. We have a very intriguing illustration here in this verse in the book of Proverbs. As I'm sure you know, Proverbs is a book of pictures. Pictures explaining, well, profound and deep spiritual concepts. And here in this proverb, there is employed the illustration of purchasing, a merchant purchasing, or someone purchasing a product. Buy the truth. It's something that can be purchased. It's something that we must purchase or we must buy. In this age of consumerism and materialism, many people forget that one thing which is most needful, and that is to be reconciled with our God. And here it is encapsulated, the faith in Jesus Christ, knowing our God, being reconciled to him. It's encapsulated in this one word, truth. Truth starts with God and it finishes with God. The Lord Jesus Christ himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So this is what is meant here with the word here, truth. Buy the truth. It's the most needful thing in this life. Well, if any product is worthy of purchase, most things on today are not really, but from time to time there are some products which, they can be very useful and make life so much easier. And we can read up on them. We can read the reviews. We can watch videos. We can make comparisons. But unless you buy the product, you're not going to be benefit. You're not going to receive any of its benefits. You're not going to enjoy any of its benefits or conveniences. And it's the same with the truth in Christ. Unless I purchase this truth for myself, unless this becomes my own and I possess it, I won't benefit from it. But we mustn't make the mistake here in this verse, when reading this verse, thinking that it is implying that we need to earn salvation. Does this mean by purchasing, by buying the truth, that I need to contribute, I need to add, and I need to do something to acquire this truth? To come to Christ, is there something involved concerning works? No, that is not what is meant by this illustration of purchasing the truth. Salvation cannot be earned. The reason why this illustration of buying the truth, of purchasing the truth, is employed is it emphasizes to us the necessity of treasuring this truth, of treasuring the faith more than anything else. That is what is meant. And this is why people, whether for good or wrong reasons, when they review a product and they look at it and they see, what do these other people say about this particular product? And maybe I'll watch a video and see how it works, see if this is really a worthy product to purchase. But when you actually go on to purchase it, you're committing to purchasing that product. And it's the same with coming to Christ. When I commit to come to Christ, it will dominate my entire life. It will be the most precious thing in life. That's the reason why it's employed. If I purchase this truth for myself, although it's free, it will dominate my life from this time forward. It's the most precious thing in life. Elsewhere in the Bible, and this term is employed, this illustration is used in other places. This concept of buying the truth, of buying salvation, it's free, it's completely free, but this term is used because once I purchase it, it becomes more important to me than anything else. You don't need money. There's no works involved to purchase this. It's free. Let me just turn you to such a scripture, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. Listen to this. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. He that hath no money, come and buy and eat. It's speaking in spiritual terms. Come, buy, eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. So this illustration is used. Buy this spiritual food for your soul, but without money, without cost, come and buy it. because someone else has procured it for you. Someone else has paid it for you. So it's very useful, this illustration of purchasing the truth, of purchasing salvation, because it helps us to realize that this, if there's anything else, if there's anything we must possess in this life, it's forgiveness. It's more important than anything else. It eclipses everything else in life. The grand and the great objectives of life, whether it's finding a spouse or your career, all these things pale into insignificance compared to this one thing which is needful, securing my soul for eternity by coming to Christ. And this illustration of purchasing it is very helpful, because purchasing something requires commitment. And there are many people who think they've purchased the truth, but they haven't, because they're not committed to it. So many people today, many people who even come to church, they assume that they've purchased the truth, and they've made a profession. They've made a profession of faith, and I may have initially been moved by the message, and professed to commit to Christ. But over time, the truth has become irrelevant to me. My Bible is just on the shelf, growing dust. I don't pick it up. I don't read it. It's not relevant to my life. And when I may come to church, and I may have a vague belief in God and the Bible, but this truth hasn't permeated my life. It's not something I treasure above all else. It hasn't changed me. And there are many people in this category who say they've purchased the truth, but they haven't. They haven't really purchased it. It's not the most precious thing in their lives. Well, in the world of commerce and business, you do get from time to time, you do get these revolutionary products where someone will invent something, or something will be made which will be so helpful, which will be so useful for people. And it's manufactured, and it's a unique product which people need, which will make life so much more convenient. And if that product loses its patent, or if it doesn't have a patent, well, of course, other companies will jump on the bandwagon, and they will want to create the same product so they can make money from it. But it's often the case that when this happens, that the products that they make, these other brands, they are normally, not always the case, but most of the time, those companies that do this, that they replicate the product, they normally are made from cheaper materials, and they are inferior to the genuine article, to the one company that made it first. That's often the case. But this is especially the case in regards to our belief, where life came from, or the path of life, or our worldview. There is the truth. There is the genuine article that we need forgiveness through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there are alternatives, alternative worldviews, alternative paths of life, which are inferior, which are made of cheap and inferior material. I'm speaking spiritually, of course, materials. And what's worse is there's so much false advertising concerning these alternative views to God. So much false advertising, so much exaggeration concerning the pleasures and the benefits of living a life away from God. No small print concerning the incalculable dangerous and painful consequences of living a godless life, but all this false advertising and exaggeration. So what I propose to do this morning is review the truth, is take it out of its box, show you some of the specifications, show you some of the features of the truth, because I myself, who have purchased the truth, and I speak on behalf of those who have purchased it as well, never regretting purchasing it, and just showing you some of the features and showing you some of the specifications in comparison to these other alternative views of life and the superiority of the truth. So first of all, when we take the truth out of the box, we notice for a start that it's durable. That's an exclusive feature of this worldview. It's durable. It's made of the most solid material imaginable. Of course, I'm speaking spiritually, as you understand. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, through to 19, we read the following. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Gold and silver and everything else in this life is corrosive and corruptible compared to Christ and the salvation that he offers. And often the Bible describes the faith in Christ as tested by fire, going through the fire of affliction. And another passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, our faith being tried by fire and the dross being burned away, that is our sin, and we're being made all the more ready for heaven. It's a durable faith. It's a substantial faith. It's a robust faith. It sees us through all the perilous storms of life, and it even improves my character. I come to Christ. I trust him as my Savior. He guides me. And even though I may go through some very dark times in my life, God will actually improve me as a person. And he will, life will become more profound. There's so many blessings. I'll become more patient, more gentle, more sympathetic, more understanding. And when everything else in life fails, and sometimes this does happen, when everything else in my life fails, Christ will never fail me. He even says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He supplies me peace of mind when I need it most. Indeed, I have the peace of God, which passeth understanding. But when I go through difficulty, there he is to uphold me. I have so many promises. He gives me courage to face the Goliaths of life, the great challenges of life. He gives me the courage I need. He gives me the joy I need, the deep-seated joy, not the joy of the world, which is skin deep, which doesn't last 5 minutes. He gives me guidance and wisdom throughout life. Yet we see in this verse, once you buy the truth, all these other things follow. Look at this. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom. You'll be given wisdom when you purchase this truth. It will come flooding into your soul. Buy wisdom, and then you'll receive instruction. You'll receive wisdom. You'll receive understanding. All these things will come as a result of the truth, of embracing the truth. You'll also know as a believer, you'll know walking with Christ, you'll know his love, his wonderful forgiving love, knowing his forgiving love, it sustains you and upholds you in the most difficult times. In Psalm 62, verse 8, we read, trust in him at all times, ye people, pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. That can only be said of the life that is in Christ, the robust faith, the faith which is durable. No other worldview, no other system of belief can claim this, has this feature, has this specification. Only the truth. All other alternatives do not have this feature, whether it's atheism or whether it's just living for the things of this life. When the storms of life come, and they do come, there is no solid hope concerning the future in any other view of life. There is no ultimate purpose which thrills my soul like the Christian faith has. Remember the words of our Savior in John's Gospel, chapter 14. I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again to receive you. Through difficulties and troubles, I'm reminded that one day I will be with my Savior. It's just a season. It gives me such strength and joy. No other worldview, no other path of life has this endurance, has this durability, has this strength. Only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why so many people who do choose these inferior, cheap alternatives to faith in Christ, as they grow older, they do become more dissatisfied. They do become more unfulfilled. I'm now using my third credit card, hoping that this next retail binge, this retail therapy, I'm hoping that this anxiety for more will go away. This next sale will surely help me to feel more settled. It won't. You'll never be satisfied, because the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. It's a bottomless pit of wanting more, never having enough. Or I'm hoping that the next night out, this next fun night out on the weekend. I'm hoping that this will help me to forget all the troubles, other troubles I'm going through in my life. It won't, friends. I will wake up on the Monday morning with a hangover, feeling worse than ever, feeling more empty than ever. I'm hoping that all my these moisturizing creams and these miracle creams and going to the gym and in some cases surgery, not that looking after yourself is wrong. It's we should look after our, we should take health seriously. But some people go to such obsessive lengths. They're so obsessive and they spend so much money, so much time and energy and emotional trauma that goes into this reputation of how I look. And so many people fall into this trap. And they don't really, I'm trying to maintain this youthful image I have, but I'm growing older and I don't want my reputation to fade. Friends, you know, you're building your house. You're building your life on a house of cards, because we do get older, whether we like it or not. And so many people who try to maintain this as they get older, they grow more depressed as it dawns on them more and more that they're fighting a losing battle. But it's only in Christ. It's only when I come to the truth, who is Christ, when I come to him. It's only this faith, only this worldview, only the truth has been tried and tested to carry us safely through the dangerous and the perilous storms of life, avoiding the shipwreck of a wasted, futile life, a wasted, futile existence, unprepared for eternity. Only faith in Christ can procure this. But I can't cover all the features and all the specifications of the truth this morning, but I can just give you a couple. The next feature, when we take the truth out the box and we examine it, is that, and it's again, this is exclusive to the truth. This is exclusive to Christ. No other worldview, no other path of life can offer this. When I examine the truth, I discover, when I read the scriptures, I discover very quickly and by experience when purchasing the truth, that only Christ has the power to remove the guilt of sin. No other system of relief or system of belief, no other worldview can do this. And it's so critical to our experience as human beings. It's so important to have that guilt removed from our conscience. Only the blood of Christ rinses away, cleanses away my guilt and my sin from my conscience. To know that I'm forgiven, even though I'm altogether unworthy. Lord, I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies, but you have forgiven me of such great and evil wickedness. To know that I'm forgiven, to know that my Savior gave himself for me on the cross, to know that I am loved with an everlasting love, and he will never let me go. And this path leads to glory when I will be with him one day, seeing my precious Savior face to face. It fills my soul with such purpose. It gives me such strength. The necessity of being pardoned, the washing away of guilt, it cannot be overestimated. Without it, we are condemned. We are condemned now, and we are condemned eternally to hell. And even in this life, a guilty conscience can have some very damaging consequences, even in this life, terrifying consequences. You know, with some people, not everyone, but some people, guilt causes some people to go in for suicide. And this is a growing problem. This is getting worse. There's this huge campaign in society to try get rid of the guilt in our conscience. There's this huge attempt, not only in society, but indeed world over increasingly, to rewire the conscience so that we don't feel guilt anymore, to call things which are desperately evil and wicked good and virtuous, and calling those things which are good evil. A rewire, but this does so much damage. And the dysphoria and the depression and the inclination to suicide that's flooding in people who are doing this, it's so dangerous. And so the necessity of having that guilt removed the authentic way, by the precious blood of Christ, is so vital, friends. How much anxiety is spared? How much, emptiness and restlessness and eternal judgment you'll be spared from by removing the guilt the authentic way, the true way, by coming to the Savior. Any other way is perilous, is dangerous. And friends, I cannot even begin to describe the horrors that you will experience Maybe not so much in this life, or maybe even in this life you see it happening today, but especially in the next. So I plead with you, friends, it's so dangerous. It makes matters so much worse. The remaining guilt in my conscience, no other worldview had, no other system of belief, no other view of life can remove the guilt of sin. And I end up arguing with my conscience lifelong. I have a conscience, I'm at odds with my conscience for the rest of my life. And this is why, have you ever wondered why people just seem to be distracted around the clock, even losing sleep as a result of being on their devices and social media and entertainment, wall to wall? If I'm not being amused at home, I'm on the train or on the bus or have my earphone. I'm always distracted. I'm always being distracted by these things. Why is this happening? Why do people feel the need to be distracted and entertained by these things? Well, when there is silence in my life, my conscience begins to move, and I'm troubled, and there's that subtle anxiety comes to this. If silence remains with me for too long, my conscience begins to move, and that subtle anxiety comes to the surface and gets worse, and it warns me that there's more to life than living for these plastic and trivial things. These things which are so useless and void and pathetic in the grand scheme of things. What's the point? My conscience will trouble me. What's the point on binging on all this entertainment and just on my device all the time, glued to my device, eat, sleep? What kind of a life is this? Is this the true meaning and purpose of life? Well, people don't like to feel this way. And conscience will never be allowed to speak for that amount of time. So when I start to feel like this, I just turn up the volume of life again. I put the earphones back on. I don't give it another thought. Why? Because I'm living in a dream world. I'm living a world of escape. I'm living for it. I'm in escapism. It's so sad the way so many people live. You need to wake up. You need to wake up. You need to realize that you're deluded. I'm sorry to be so, I'm just telling you the truth, friends. This was the case with so many people before they come to Christ. There's many other exclusive features in this concerning the truth as we examine the truth. Christ alone saves me from hell, from my sins. No other pathway of life, no other view of life offers this. He alone opens up the realm of spiritual life so that I understand spiritual truth for the first time. I can understand the scriptures. I can understand God's plans. I can't understand these things unless I come to Christ, unless I purchase the truth. He alone secures heaven for me, and there's many, many more other features which I don't have time to cover in this service, but I'm sure you have the idea of how vital it is to purchase the truth, to own it for yourself. It's no good just admiring it. It's no good just looking at reviews and appreciating it from the distance. It will do you no good, friend. You need to purchase it for yourself. You need to make sure that Christ is your own, that he is your, he's not just a savior. No, he's my savior. And he's now a part of, he means everything to me. I love his promises. I'm humble to the dust what he's done for a wretched sinner like me. That's how it must work that way. Well, it's strange, is it not? Why aren't there crowds and crowds of people lining up to purchase the truth? Why aren't there crowds of people wanting to come into the house of God, longing to purchase? Why don't they come? Why aren't there people in their droves wanting to purchase the truth this morning in churches up and down this land and around the world? Why do people prefer the cheap alternatives? Why do people prefer the alternatives of life which are made of cheap and material, which cannot sustain them through the storms of life and will not see them through into eternity? Why do people choose these things? Because isn't this truth free? You pay for these other alternatives, and they're cheap and they're flimsy. But the truth is free, although it is so costly. It's so costly we could have never have earned it, and that's why God had to purchase it for us. But why do people choose the alternatives? Well, because the truth is costly in another sense, and I've already mentioned it in passing already. If I buy the truth, which is free, if I purchase it for myself, it will dominate my life. It's too valuable to take second place or third place or fourth place in my life. If I purchase the truth, it must be the domineering aspect of my life. It must be first place. And this is where many people are dissuaded from purchasing the truth. By who? By the father of lies. By Satan himself. Don't do this. Don't take this faith. Don't commit to this. Just admire it from a distance. Just sit on the fence. You can have this world and you can have heaven. No, you can't. You either commit to the truth. You either purchase the truth or you don't have it. So don't listen to Satan. And Satan will convince us, oh, if you commit to Christ, it'll suck out all the adventure, all the fun out of your life. If you become a Christian, you won't be able to indulge in your favorite sins anymore. You won't be able to do this or that. Yes, if you do buy the truth, the Bible is very honest. If you do, you'll have to give up things. In fact, it won't be painful for you because God will so change your nature. And if I so desire Christ, he will so work in my heart that I won't want these things that I used to love anyway. It won't be difficult to part with these things because what God gives in exchange for the sinful things that we used to live for, the exchange, what God gives in exchange for the old life is, well, you cannot compare it. Vastly superior, authentic joy, the things I've already mentioned. Let me just give you some verses in this respect concerning what God gives in exchange for the old sinful life. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, I just quote some of it. Speaking of those who are imprisoned in sin and what God offers them, to give unto them beauty for ashes. My life is like burnt ashes compared to what God can give me. Beauty for ashes, the grand exchange, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If you just live for the things of this world, you will have that heaviness within your soul and it will only get worse as you grow older. And they that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And listen to the Apostle Paul's testimony. I must quote this passage, Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 8. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He lost his reputation. He could no longer, all his reputation of a Pharisee and his admiration among his peers, he lost all of that and he was willing to do so. He lost everything for the cause of his Savior. I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. All these things that I used to admire and live for, they're counted as refuge. They're counted as useless, as dung compared to my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Open your eyes, friends. Don't be persuaded by the father of lies that you're going to be at loss if you come to Christ. Oh, the gain that you experience, the blessings that flow. Yes, I give up my old life, but when your eyes are opened, you realize that you're holding on to things which are dangerous, which are harmful, and which are, well, compared to what Christ offers, they cannot be compared. In Revelation chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he addresses the last church on his list of the seven churches, in Asia, he speaks to Laodicea, the last church who had backslidden from the Lord. They no longer love the Lord as they used to. They love riches of this world instead. And he has this to say to them. Because thou sayest, I am rich and have increased with goods and have need of nothing. And thou knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now listen to this. I counsel thee to buy. There's that illustration being used again. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. He's speaking of spiritual gold. The gold of this world is precious, yes, but it will not last eternity. It will corrode. It's corruptible. But the gold which Christ offers, that is himself, forgiveness, eternal life. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, have true riches that do not fade away. So I plead with you, dear friend, if you have not yet purchased the truth, don't settle for the cheap, flimsy, alternative path of life. Don't continue in the pathway that you're in. Buy the truth. How do I buy the truth? By desiring Christ more than anything else. You can't purchase it, but I can desire it. That's all that's required of you. I desire this more than anything else. And I realized that he purchased salvation for me. When he was bleeding and dying on that cross 2,000 years ago, he was being judged and condemned in my place. And all I need to do as a sinner is simply ask in faith for it. Repent of my sins. Lord, I've been such a wretched sinner. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. I believe that when you died, you did it for me, that you had me in your mind's eye while you were bleeding in great agony. I thank thee, Lord, that you suffered hell on my behalf so that I can go to heaven. Friends, use your own prayer, but your own words in prayer, but believe that the Lord Jesus Christ personally suffered and died for your sins. Believe with all your heart. Come to him. Desire what he offers. And if you mean it, he will forgive you. He will bless you. He's now my Lord and my Savior. Those who come to Christ, those who purchase the truth, never regret it. In fact, they discover so much. They say to themselves, the half of this hasn't been explained to me. The discoveries of faith, the joy of salvation. And they'll never be willing to sell it. Buy the truth and sell it not. Those who truly purchase salvation, they're never willing to sell it. And this will be your experience as well, the moment you purchase such a salvation. Amen.